The Spirit and the Church cry out, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." We read from the first chapter, selected verses of the Gospel of St. Luke. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. "You will be with child and give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." The news Mary received was the most treasured, long-awaited news, perhaps the most vital announcement of all human history. The dark moments that followed humanity's first sin were brightened by God's first promise, the first gospel utterings of an offspring of Mary that would crush Satan's head and end the curse of sin for all humanity. Every believer from that day forward has been waiting on the Lord. Mary was raised in a believing family, a household that trained her for that wait. Exactly where she was and what she was doing when Gabriel arrived to make his announcement to her, we do not know, but we do know that in her mindset, in her lifestyle, in her spirit, she was waiting for the Lord. She was one of that long, continuous line of believers that had heard God's promises and were waiting on the fulfillment, on the deliverance God had promised. Waiting on the Lord is a familiar reality for every believer. Sin has darkened the perfect knowledge of God's will and God's plan. We cannot see it the way Adam and Eve saw it before their fall. The darkness of sin and unbelief has only ratcheted down the veil of uncertainty over human knowledge every day. We don't know what God's plans and what timing He will exercise in our daily human experience. And so we wait on the Lord. We prayerfully wait on the Lord for His forgiveness, for His healing. We wait for direction, for answers. We wait for deliverance from our pain and even deliverance from our existence in this world itself. Waiting should be second nature to every believer. But waiting is never easy, is it? Especially at this time of the year. Especially for children with large expectations and hopes. Expectations of all kinds of things, activities and opportunities, but very likely the most mind-filling of all of the waiting and expectations is for that moment, that big moment. No, not counting down to the last school bell of the semester, but waiting for that moment when those words are spoken, "Go ahead, start opening your first present." There are plenty of adults who will quietly admit that they struggle with the waiting of this busy time of the year just as much as children. There are so many things that we look forward to and have expectation of, and many might even admit that quietly, they wait for that hopefully magical moment of gift opening themselves. The anticipation that Mary experienced that first Advent must have made her waiting most difficult. Any first-time parent will likely tell you that those 9 months of waiting for that first child seem to take almost twice as long as they really are. And when you and I consider everything that we know that Mary went through, everything she experienced, everything she knew about her child because of what she was told in verses such as this, her experience must have been excruciatingly exceptional at times. How careful would you have been if you were her as you waited? As you longed for that day to come? How careful would you be about what you ate? What activities you involved yourself in? Even the words and attitudes that you expressed, wondering if that child, that special child in your womb, could hear and was listening. But also lingering had to be concerns about whether she was up to the task. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. Mary was waiting for the very best Christmas present ever. As unsettling as it all must have been for her, she also had the best possible comfort available to her in her longing and her waiting. The certain promises of her Savior God. The song that Mary would sing not too long after this in the presence of her cousin Elizabeth demonstrates to us to what degree Mary understood this and all that she knew from the Old Testament scriptures regarding this child that she was carrying and what he would be and what he would do, not just for the world, but for her. It helps us understand just how the Word of God and its promises became her comfort. But perhaps the most telling of all the lines of that song of praise is the one in which Mary acknowledges that this child would be her Savior too. As she waited and wondered, she had absolute assurance, true comfort, that anything and everything that she did or that she said, anything that might go wrong, even with anything she thought, that this child growing within her would make it right, that it would be forgiven because he was God's own son, come to be the Savior of the world. But there's more, much more. Being of the house of David herself, Mary likely had grown up hearing much about that most famous of ancestors. He was a mighty king. He was a figure acknowledged by even the world's historians to be one of the greatest benefactors and kings the world has ever known. But the most important reality in David's life, as he himself would confess, recorded in the scriptures, was the promise of his Savior God, the God of the covenant that he followed, Sabbath after Sabbath, festival after festival, would choose him, would make a promise to him that one of his descendants would be that one promised to Eve in the garden that would crush Satan's head. Now Mary, a daughter of David's line, was carrying within her David's greatest son, a king who would reign forever on the very throne of heaven itself. Mary knew this and believed this and filed this away in her heart for further contemplation as they lived out their lives together, because she had it on the very highest authority possible. This was something she was told by Gabriel, an angel that served in the presence of God and was sent directly to her to tell her these amazing promises himself. You and I also wait on the Lord. We wait on him for so many reasons and for so many answers. It is good that our Lord makes us wait. No, it's actually very, very good that our Lord makes us wait. For in our waiting, we have opportunity. We have every reason to fill our waiting by examining his promises and his word ever deeper and more carefully. There we will find what Mary found that brought her perfect comfort in her waiting, solace, assurance, a complete conviction in the promises of God, that her son was God's son. He was the Almighty, eternal King of heaven come down to this earth through the vehicle of her own body, her womb, to make everything right, to heal every sinner and offer each one eternal life. That is a truth worth waiting for. A truth that truly changes absolutely everything about us and about our future. This truth we now wait to be fully realized in the second coming of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. But while we wait amidst all of the uncertainty and anger and pain and challenge of body and life in this world, we have so many more answers to contemplate than Mary did. So much more comfort to draw from in the fulfilled promises of God and in the accounts of the amazing life and ministry, the death and resurrection and the return to heaven of this child she carried in her womb. Treasure them. Let them be your Advent source of comfort as you take your place among the believers of all time. Every one of them who have simply, confidently, in the comfort of his word, waited on the Lord. Comfort. Comfort from God for those waiting for him. Another stellar Advent gift of our loving Lord. Amen.